Any others before we bow our heads tonight to pray? Any other special prayer needs? Bow your heads with me then. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for the privilege you've given each of us tonight to come together in your name, for your purpose and in your will. I pray, God, for the sick and the shut in. I know there's many around us even tonight. I would pray, Father God, for those in the hospitals around our community and around this land, that you would raise them up, God, and restore their health if it be your will and purpose. Lord, it seems so many times we pray for what our desires and our needs are, failing, Lord, each day miserably, I know in my own life, to pray for your will to be done in my own needs. God, forgive me and forgive each of us for ever doubting and guessing what should be the best, knowing, God, that you're an all-knowing God. I pray tonight for the service, Father God, that you would honor your word and spirit and truth. I pray, Father, that you would just allow your will to be manifested in each of our hearts. If there's any walls built, God, may you tear those walls down. Lord, make steps from those walls so that we may step up and be received into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you again, Lord, for all those whom have prayed for this service and this meeting. I know there's been dozens and dozens that I've received emails from today, Father, that have been praying and continue to pray week after week and day after day for this ministry and for each one that's involved. And I would ask you, Father, if it be your will, that you would bless them for their faithfulness unto you and their spirit of prayer, Lord, that they render each day tirelessly. Again, Lord, take your word tonight and use it, nourish it to the spirit in our souls so that you may be praised and glorified. And Father God, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise forever and ever. Tonight we come and we pray in the name above all names. We come tonight and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'd ask you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Acts. The New Testament book of Acts. I'm going to be in chapter 2 of Acts. Book of Acts surely is our roadmap for the definition of the modern church. Surely we read about the apostles after the ascension of Jesus Christ unto his heavenly Father, and how the church was formed, and how the church was built, and how the people within the body of Christ behaved, and is how they worshiped, and how they carried on their daily lives and activities with the separation that they had witnessed as they had seen Jesus be ascended into heaven. He did share with them, and they were many clear and quickly to forget, that he would go forth and send forth a great comforter, even more comforting than he was, being that of the Holy Ghost. If we look in chapter 2 and drop down to verse 14 is where I'm going to share some of tonight's scripture. It speaks of Peter, and as Peter was led by the Holy Ghost to speak to the people, we consider this many times the message of the Pentecost. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brought forth a message that brought forth many unto the folds of God, unto repentance and salvation. Verse 14 begins, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, being the disciples, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." If there's one thing, beloved, we note already, is Peter demanded their full attention about what he was about to share. He says in verse 15, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, In the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Peter said in verse 21. May God bless tonight the reading of His Word. If we have heard any of these verses preached many times, surely it's verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every one of us tonight that hear my voice and that are able to have a copy of God's Word, whether it be at this moment in your hand or whether it be at your home or whether it be on your nightstand or whether it be in your possession somewhere, we're all a blessed people in a blessed land. You see, what Peter wanted the people to understand was this, beloved, that there'll be days coming that are dark days. There'll be days coming that are not days of light. They're truly days of darkness. There'll be days coming when it seems that there is no sign in our life of the glory and the joy of God. Peter wanted all these people to understand as he stood before them and with the 11. It says he lifted up his voice as he spoke up, and he said unto them, and he called upon them, the men of Judea and all them that dwell in Jerusalem, but this be known to you, he said, because he asked them to hearken or listen carefully to my own words. And he wanted them to clearly understand that he was not a drunkard man as he spoke these words. If he was drunken in anything, it was the Holy Spirit. It says, as ye suppose, seeing it, but the third hour of the day. And he says in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he says, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We'll stop there for just a few moments. We can turn our televisions on this day and time, beloved, and we can hear a prophecy from sun up to sunset if we choose to listen. The only question I have many times is whether or not is the prophecy of God. Many times I wonder, even though I hear Scripture read, are these men, are these women that are proclaiming this prophesy, are they proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, or is this their own prophecy for their own gains? You see, we have to be real careful about what we hear and who we hear and how we listen, beloved, because many times we see those out in this world today that are surely wolves in sheep's clothing. We have to also understand that he says, in the last day saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. You see, the opportunity the word here speaks of as Peter preaches this word of Pentecost to all people, that they need to realize and we all need to understand that the power and the understanding of God is available to all flesh and to all people in this world. You see, Peter wanted them to understand that this is not for a select few of people that call themselves already Christians, but for all of the world, all whom breathe and all whom are created in the own image of God. You see, us as believers, sometimes I feel like we have a monopoly on the Word of God. And sometimes, shamefully, I say we also sometimes feel like we have a monopoly on salvation. But I want you to know today that Jesus Christ died for all man. Amen. He died on a cross, on a hill we call Calvary, the place of the skull it references. And we understand there that He not only died for those whom were redeemed, but He died so all of mankind could be redeemed. So many times I think we look at others that we see around us that maybe we have prayed for year after year, maybe some of our own family members. And you know, I know of family members that I have in my own family. I know of relatives that have family members. I know of other friends and other ones that I've known all my life that I pray for, beloved, every day of my life, asking God, God, may be this day be their day of salvation in their life. God, would you speak to them through the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Father God, may you convict their spirit. So God, they will just be drawn unto you. That's my prayer every day. But you see, I have to pray that prayer. And as I pray that prayer, I have to trust God completely with my whole heart. You see, I pray for God's will to be done as I pray for each person's need. I pray for God's anointing. I pray for God's power. I pray for God's grace to be upon all that I know, all friends and family. And also all those that I know it's so easy in our lives to have what we call enemies. Because there's so many all over this world, and you don't have to look through many news channels this day and time to see there's so many people out there that their greatest desire in life is to take somebody else's life away from them. You see, when God, beloved, gives us life, He says in His Word that He offers His life abundantly unto us. And you see, so many times we want to see others nourish and we want to see ourselves be bettered and walk closer to God. But so many times we also fall so short of the glory of God, as Romans 3:23 declares, because we fail to allow God to have full access to our whole heart. Peter went on as he shared. And he says in verse 18, "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." You see, what Peter was declaring unto the people was, it's not going to be limited to those you think are preachers. It's not going to be limited, beloved, to those that you know whom are deacons in your church, or those that you know of that are people that are walking the closest to God. You see, when God speaks, beloved, to the heart of a believer, He speaks completely and wholly, and we need to always be in tune and listen to what God maybe has to share from that heart of that believer. So many times I think we discount what someone has to say before we ever will open our ears and allow the Word of God to penetrate into our sometimes hardened hearts what maybe God has for us in a prophecy or an understanding. We each walk every day in a world that we have no surety of where our next meal or our next step will come from. And I say that, and some of you may say, well, my refrigerator and my pantry are full, and I know where my meal comes from. I'm fed three times a day. I have an appointment for lunch tomorrow, even, somebody may say. But I want you to know, beloved, that's what you're trusting to happen. But only God truly knows whether or not tomorrow you'll even need a meal. Because only God knows what tomorrow holds for you and I. Amen. So many times we always try to reach out and second guess what God's will is for our lives. And you know, I don't know of a more dangerous place for anyone to walk than to walk in your own will and exclude the will of God in the parts of your life that God controls, which is it all. You see, you can't walk with God, I plainly say it this way, unless you give God your whole heart. You can't give God part of your heart and expect God to be there with you through the thick and the thin. You see, you can't give God just a certain day, a Sunday afternoon or 11 o'clock to noon worship service on a Sunday in church, and expect God there to be with you every day of the week if you've only given God just what was required of you to be at an appointed time in your appointed church or your appointed fellowship. You see, it's all about a relationship with God. Beloved, it's not about a religion. You see, it's about what we have in our hearts and our desire within each of us to serve and to worship God completely with our whole hearts, and has nothing at all to do with the color of the Bible we carry, or whether it's paper or leather, or whether our church has stained glass, or whether or not we have beautiful carpet, or whether or not our pews are soft and padded, or whether or not we possibly, even like many people I know, are just sitting on a dirt floor as I speak, as they hear the Word of God proclaimed. We are such blessed people, but so many times those whom are blessed, beloved, are expected by God to be a blessing. Many times we fall so short of that. Peter continues on in verse 19, and he says, "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." You see, what he's describing there, beloved, is that one day all that you see around you that you can touch will all go away just like a flash of flame. You see, all these things in our material life, beloved, unless they're being laid up as a treasure in heaven, they're all temporary. Every part of it. Every part of it. But I want you to know tonight, in closing, there's one thing, beloved, that'll never fade. There's one thing that'll never grow old. And that's the soul that God placed in every one of your hearts and lives. You see, whether you're lost tonight, or whether or not you're redeemed and have been walking with the Lord for 50 years, every one of us have a soul in us that God has placed there the day that we were conceived in our mother's womb. Amen. And you know, one day, beloved, that soul will live either in heaven or hell. You see, there's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. There's no place for those whom are lost in heaven. And praise God, there's a special place that God set aside for all whom have come to follow Him. Peter wanted the people, beloved, to understand one thing clearly and profoundly. Seek God first. Get your eyes off the things that you are hearing in this day and time in this book of Acts as this new church, if you will, quote unquote, was beginning. And Peter wanted the people to understand, get your mind and your focus off of building buildings and setting up pews and painting walls and building Sunday school classrooms and doing all these little things that we know are important, but yet they're not imperative to God. You see, there's no greater sanctuary, beloved, in the world that you can worship in than in your own corner, on your own knees, in your own prayer closet.
Amen.
So many times people look at where they are and they kind of look at it almost as a sports fan would look and say, well, I've got a favorite lucky t-shirt that I wear, and or I've got a favorite pair of sneakers that I wear, some of the ball players may say, and I've heard many times. But I want you to know tonight, beloved, what I have in my life today that means something to me, that will mean something forever, is I know that the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and forever lives down inside of me. Because one day He came into me, one day He spoke unto me, and He showed me the errors of my way, and He showed me that I was a sinner, and He showed me that I was lost, and I was damned, and I was heading to a devil's hell. And without Him, and without His shed blood on the cross, on that hill we call Calvary, I would be hopeless, and I would be damned, and I would be cursed, and there would never be hope, there would never be a promise, and there would never be eternity for me with God, except that of damnation in hell that I would spend outside of the forgiveness and the shed blood and the repudiation of Jesus Christ on that cross. So many times we look and we wonder, where is God when we need God the most? Beloved, I want you to know God has never left you if you're a believer. I want you to know if you're lost tonight and you hear this word, I want you to know God is still even with you tonight, even though you have rejected Him, because you walk in good company, because every one of us at stages of our lives, even as a Christian believer, we still reject God on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes we put God in a corner, and sometimes we'll pack God up on a shelf and say, God, I'll give you a call when I have a need. God, I'll give you a call when I know that I'm lowly and walking in a valley. Lord, I'll give you a call whenever I know, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Lord, I'll give you a call, and yet the Lord seems to sit, and the Lord still waits just to hear you call His name many days. So many times I think Peter wanted the people to understand as he preached this message of Pentecost. Come unto God. Trust God. Don't look at religion. Don't look at the things around you. Don't look at how somebody else worships. Don't look at how somebody else memorizes their Bible. Don't look at who follows who and who is under what leadership and whose pastor is whose pastor and what road is that church on. But Peter wanted the people to know, you need to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, the Word says, will be added unto you. So many times, beloved, I find in my life and the lives of so many I know around me, we seem to allow things in this world to creep in and get in our path. And you know, so many times when that happens, so many times we kind of put God to sides. And say, Lord, I'll be there soon. Lord, I need to talk to you. Lord God, I need your help, God. I need it so desperately. But yet, are we really desperate enough to call upon God at a time of need and really call upon Him with our whole heart? Are we really desperate enough, beloved, to call upon God and not care what somebody else might think when we pray? I'll give you a little story about a week ago as I was working. I was in a restaurant and I was with a co-worker of mine, and the restaurant was very crowded. It was lunchtime, and it was in a larger city than ours, and we ordered our food and went and sat down at a table and had to wait a few minutes before we could even find a table to sit at, and there must have been 50 tables in that restaurant. It was very crowded during lunchtime. And I pulled up there, and I got me a little small container of napkins to wipe my hands with, and I filled up a cup of tea there, iced tea, and I got my stuff together, my condiments together, and I went looking around. I couldn't find a place anywhere to sit. And I just kind of stood over to the wall there with my sack of food in my hand and my cup of sweet tea in my hand. I was hungry, yes, but I knew I had to be patient. And I looked and I watched, and there was people sitting around that had already finished eating like hours ago. Just talking. I said, well, you know, it would be real good if they would just get up and let somebody else sit down like me. And, you know, I waited and I waited, and I guess 20 or maybe 25 minutes might have went by. And finally a lady walked up to me and said, sir, you've been standing here a long time. I'd like for you to come and sit down, and I'd like for you to sit down with me and my husband, because we have two chairs that no one's sitting at. And you know, I looked at her and I said, well, I wouldn't want to impose on you. She said, I know you don't know me. But she said, I want you to know that I love Jesus. And I looked at her and a tear come out of my eye. And I stopped and thought, God, here I am looking for a place to sit at a restaurant, having a place to sit down and open my sack of food and eat my lunch. And here you bring up this precious dear woman and her husband to say, I know you don't know us, but we love Jesus. I couldn't do nothing but praise God. I sat down at their table with them, me and a friend of mine, co-worker, and we sat down there. And she said, you can't sit here unless you pray first. And I said, thank you. And we sat there, and I'm sure we had at least 15 minutes of solid prayer in the middle of that restaurant, of probably 100 people. And you know, I noticed as I began to pray, and as we were praying, the whole restaurant got completely quiet. You couldn't hear anything except the cars passing by on the road. And that went on for a good 5 or 10 minutes as I prayed. And I prayed like I always pray. I'm not going to pray a rush prayer, beloved. I'm going to pray to the one and only living God. And I want God to hear my prayer and petition. But most of all, I want to pray because I need to speak to God. Amen? I want God to hear me, but yeah, I need to talk to God. And I was overdue to speak to God because it had been several hours since early that morning. Me and God had had a good time together communicating. And as I prayed and as I raised my head up, I noticed that all four of us around that little table, complete strangers, every one of us had a hold of the hand next to us. And that lady looked at me, bless her heart, and she said, you know, one day in heaven, that's exactly how it's going to be. I'm going to walk up to somebody I've never met before, somebody I've never seen before. I'm going to grab a hold of their hand, and I'm going to hug their neck, and I'm going to be thankful, not because I don't know them or not because I do know them, but because they know God. Amen? And you know, when she said that, it gave me goosebumps, and it still does today, because, beloved, until our lives as a believer get to the point in our lives when we are willing to love each other in a way that God loved us first, you know what? We can never expect to receive the fullness of God in any of our lives. Amen. We shared a good meal, and we talked at least for 30 or 40 minutes. And got ready to go, and that lady could not stop talking about how wonderful it was to be in the middle of that restaurant and still pray and know that we can still pray and still not be condemned for our prayers. Amen. And I told her, you know, one day that may change, and I know it will. But I told them, and I tell you tonight, beloved, I am thankful that I am blessed to live in a great nation where I know I can bow my heads in a public place and I can call upon the name of a righteous and a mighty God, and I can raise my head up from that prayer and that petition I share with God, and I can know there's no shame in my heart. Peter wanted the people to know this, and I close with this verse. For as it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, this day and time, I find so many people that are separating themselves and their relationship with God. I don't understand that. I'll be the first one to tell you that. I've asked many preachers and many people of the Word of God that I know love the Lord God, and I've never spoken to anyone that fully understood that, and I'm sure we never will before we stand before God in heaven. But you know, there's one thing I want you to know tonight, beloved. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. May this be your day is what my deepest prayer is as I share this message of Pentecost with each of you tonight. May this be a day of knowing. May this be a day of reconciliation. And most of all, may this be a day that the Lord Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and your Savior. If you allow Him. Would you bow your heads with me for a closing prayer and invitation? Father God, we're thankful for the privilege You've given us this day to come together one more time and to share this truth as is declared by Peter in this book of Acts. Lord, each day of our life, it seems like we wander and we are so many times wayward, God, from exactly where You would have us to tread. But God, I'm so thankful that even at such a time as this, that You'll grab hold to us because of Your great love for us. And You'll draw us back, Father. Draw us back unto Your love and Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for that. I thank You, Lord God, for the Word. I thank You, Father, tonight that You would just touch and bless and convict the hearts and the spirits of all that whom may hear this message, whether it be in this country or whether it be anywhere around this world. May it be in another county, another state, another country. And God, may it be Your will and Your way and Your convicting power, God, that they feel. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to come together. Thank You for the blessing, God, that You've given us just in knowing that we're in the company of the Holy Spirit. Father, may You bless each need that's represented here, and may You continue to draw each of us closer each and every day, God, unto You. We thank You and we praise You, God, for all that You do. Lead us, guide us, and direct us, God, to glorify and bless Your name always. For we come this day and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This concludes tonight's live worship service. We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, each one listening has been blessed through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us back again next week
for another live outreach worship service as we together continue praising Jesus Christ. Those tonight who have made decisions to follow Christ, desiring additional biblical resources, or anyone with special prayer concerns, are personally invited to visit the Praising Jesus Ministry website. The web address is www.praisingjesus.org. That address again is www.praisingjesus.org. We want to thank each of you tonight for listening. We invite you back again next week as together we seek God to guide, mold, and speak to our hearts and lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Good night, and may God bless each of you, is my prayer.